Astori Publishing presents The Value Equation, Prologue. On a damp Tuesday in late autumn, the conference room atop Boston's old Registry of Deeds hummed like a beehive. Fluorescent lights flickered over rows of folding chairs where four people, strangers to one another yet bound by the same puzzle, waited for the clerk to release the morning's sales records. Outside, the Charles River had traded its summer sparkle for the steel-gray sheen of November, and the talk on everyone's lips was the same: prices, rates, risk. Closest to the door sat Miriam Park, a veteran landlord in windbreaker and wool scarf, sharpening a yellow pencil down to its final inch. Her notebooks were crowded with acronyms, NOI, LTV, IRR, that she could recite faster than her social security number. 8 years earlier, Miriam had misjudged the value of a Somerville triple-decker by barely 6%. The lenders collected on time, but her rent checks never quite caught up, and she still winced at the memory of those midnight calls to plumbers she could hardly afford. Today, she intended to avoid that mistake at any cost. Across the aisle, 26-year-old Caleb Johnson bounced his leg in nervous arcs. A software engineer by trade, he had spent nights feeding spreadsheets with cap rate formulas plucked from podcasts. What lured him here was a modest duplex in Worcester, two bathrooms short of perfect, listed at a price the brokers insisted wouldn't last the week. Caleb understood Python and machine learning. What he did not yet understand was how a single faulty assumption about vacancy could turn a projected surplus into a bleed of red numbers. He was about to learn that math the hard way, or the right way, depending on how he listened. Near the front, appraiser Linda Serrano adjusted the zoom on her phone camera, capturing images of each transaction sheet as it hit the public counter. Decades in the field had taught her that property value isn't a guess or a hope. It is an argument, documented and defensible. She knew the three approaches: sales comparison, income capitalization, cost reproduction, were legal language first and economic logic second, and this morning's deeds would feed the adjustment grids she had open on her laptop. $1,000 too much on square footage adjustments could cripple a pension fund. She had seen it. Leaning against the back wall, municipal assessor Tom Nguyen sipped black coffee from a cardboard cup. To the investors in the room, he was nearly invisible, but each year, his office set the assessed values that governed Boston's tax rolls. He had watched, with quiet fascination and occasional dread, as the Federal Reserve's latest rate hikes rippled through neighborhood after neighborhood, stretching buyers' enthusiasm to the snapping point. If today's batch of deeds revealed the first hint of price softening, tomorrow's city budget would feel the tremor. At 9:30 sharp, the clerk slid open the glass partition, and the room surged forward. Pages rustled, calculations began, cap rates scribbled in margins, cost estimates muttered under breath. It looked chaotic, yet every gesture circled one silent question: what is this property really worth? Outside those walls, headlines told competing stories. National Association of Realtors data declared record-high median prices, while mortgage bankers warned of tightening credit. In Cambridge, a four-unit fetched a sum that implied a 4% yield. 60 miles west, a Springfield quad sat unsold at 8. The market was no longer forgiving. Precision mattered now in a way it hadn't since the last cycle turned. The stakes were plain in Miriam's furrowed brow as she penciled numbers. Rent escalations at 2%, expense ratio at 38. A single wrong digit, and the building she coveted could become the echo of her Somerville ordeal. For Caleb, the difference between a conservative vacancy allowance and an optimistic one meant keeping, or forfeiting, his first year's bonus. Linda saw it in broader terms. Appraisal variance, quantified by recent Urban Institute studies, could wash billions from pension portfolios. And Tom, pouring the last of his coffee, understood that municipal services, teachers' salaries, snowplow contracts, balanced on the thin edge of assessed value. Some concepts hiding beneath their chatter would confuse an outsider. Cap rate sounds like fashion. In truth, it is simply net operating income divided by purchase price, a a snapshot of return before debt and taxes. Debt service coverage may read like legalese, but it is nothing more than a safety margin, income over mortgage payments. Even the cryptic 1065 exchange loosely translates to swapping one property for another, deferring taxes the way a chess player defers losing a queen. The vocabulary is dense only because the money at risk is real. Yet beneath every formula beats something less technical and more urgent: time. Rents climb, roofs decay, interest clocks tick. A dollar mislaid today steals not only itself, but every future dollar it might have earned. That is why these four, and thousands like them, chase clarity through endless rows of data, why they trust numbers more than intuition and disciplined valuation more than optimistic whispers. When the clerk announced closing time, Miriam snapped her notebook shut. Caleb jogged toward the elevator, clutching fresh comps. Linda filed her images to cloud storage, and Tom retreated to City Hall to revise next quarter's assessments. They parted without introductions, unaware that their separate decisions would soon intersect across balance sheets, zoning meetings, and maybe even courtrooms. What they shared was a single premise: get the value wrong at the start, and every step thereafter is heavier. In the chill outside, dusk settled over the river, and traffic lights blinked red to green to red. The city would sleep, numbers would not. Somewhere a property was already mispriced, a loan already approved, a plan already flawed. Whether that story ended in profit or regret depended on lessons that begin, here, with value. End of prologue. Valuation is the cornerstone of every profitable real estate decision, and understanding its importance is crucial for investors. In plain English, valuation is the process of determining the economic value of a property. It's essential to grasp that a defensible estimate of value is the foundation upon which all other investment decisions are made. Research has shown that overpaying at acquisition is the single strongest predictor of chronic negative cash flow. Studies have consistently demonstrated that investors who overpay for a property are more likely to experience financial difficulties down the line. To put this into perspective, let's consider a recent example. In 2022, a Boston triple-decker sold for roughly 8% above the neighborhood mean. Unfortunately, the subsequent rents generated were insufficient to service the debt, highlighting the peril of mispricing. This example illustrates the importance of accurate valuation and the potential consequences of overpaying. There are three legally recognized approaches to appraisal: the sales comparison approach, the income capitalization approach, and the cost reproduction approach. The sales comparison approach involves analyzing recent sales of similar properties to estimate the value of the subject property. The income capitalization approach, on the other hand, focuses on the property's potential to generate income, while the cost reproduction approach estimates the cost of replacing or reproducing the property. As we explore these concepts further, we'll be discussing key metrics such as the capitalization rate, net present value, and internal rate of return. The capitalization rate, for instance, is a widely used metric that helps investors understand the relationship between a property's net operating income and its purchase price. We'll be delving into these metrics in more detail later on. The National Association of Realtors' latest median price findings, issued in 2023, underscore the complexity of regional variability in real estate markets. Blanket rules of thumb are often unreliable, and a nuanced understanding of local market conditions is essential for making informed investment decisions. As we move forward, we'll be examining how to apply these concepts in practice, starting with the sales comparison approach. By analyzing recent sales data and making adjustments for factors such as square footage and locational nuances, investors can develop a more accurate estimate of a property's market value. This will provide a solid foundation for further analysis and decision-making. Let's pause for a moment to consider the significance of accurate valuation. It's the starting point for every successful real estate investment. By getting it right, investors can avoid costly mistakes and set themselves up for long-term success. As we continue, we'll be building on this foundation, exploring the various metrics and techniques that will help you make informed investment decisions. To accurately determine a property's market value, investors rely on the sales comparison approach, a widely accepted method that involves analyzing recent sales of similar properties. This technique is grounded in the principle of substitution, which posits that a buyer will not pay more for a property than the cost of acquiring a comparable substitute. By examining recent transactions of similar properties, investors can develop a well-supported estimate of the subject property's value. The process begins with the selection of truly comparable properties, often referred to as comps. Appraisers and investors look for properties that have sold recently and are similar to the subject property in terms of factors such as location, size, age, and condition. The Massachusetts Registry of Deeds is a primary data source for this information, providing access to recorded property transactions. By analyzing these sales data, investors can identify relevant comparables and make adjustments to account for differences between the comps and the subject property. Let's walk through an example involving three Worcester duplexes that transferred within roughly 90 days of each other. The properties are similar in terms of size and age, but differ in one key aspect. One of the duplexes has a finished attic that meets local building codes. To accurately compare these properties, we need to adjust for this difference. Assuming the finished attic adds approximately $30,000 to the property's value, we can adjust the sales price of the comparable property with the finished attic downward by this amount to make it more comparable to the other two duplexes. When making adjustments, it's essential to rely on documented evidence and to clearly explain the reasoning behind each adjustment. In this case, the $30,000 adjustment for the finished attic is based on documented cost data from local contractors and reflects the added value this feature brings to the property. By making this adjustment, we can more accurately compare the sales prices of the three duplexes and develop a more reliable estimate of the subject property's value. The sales comparison approach is not without its challenges, however. Urban Institute research from 2022 has shown that appraisal variances can be significant, even among experienced appraisers. This highlights the importance of using a disciplined approach to selecting comparables and making adjustments. By doing so, investors can minimize the risk of errors and develop a more accurate estimate of a property's market value. As we continue to explore the sales comparison approach, it's essential to keep in mind that this method provides a snapshot of a property's value at a particular point in time. While it's a valuable tool for investors, it's only one aspect of the overall investment analysis. As we'll discuss later, rental properties require a forward-looking lens, one that considers the property's potential to generate income over time. The capitalization rate, a key metric we'll be exploring in subsequent sections, provides a useful framework for evaluating a property's income-generating potential and its implications for investment decisions. To accurately assess an income property's financial health, investors rely on the net operating income, or NOI, formula. This calculation represents the property's earnings before considering financing costs, taxes, and other non-operating expenses. The NOI formula begins with gross scheduled income, which is the total potential rent if all units were occupied. From this figure, a vacancy allowance is subtracted to account for expected vacancies and uncollectible rents. The resulting amount is referred to as the effective gross income. Operating expenses, which include costs such as property management, maintenance, insurance, and property taxes, are then deducted from the effective gross income to arrive at the net operating income. According to Internal Revenue Service Publication 527, residential rental property, deductible expenses include, but are not limited to, repairs, maintenance, and utility costs. It's essential to distinguish between repairs, which are deductible, and improvements, which are capitalized and depreciated over time. The Institute of Real Estate Management published benchmarks in 2019 showing that expense ratios for multifamily properties typically range between 30 and 40%. To illustrate this concept, let's examine a Springfield 4-unit property. The gross scheduled income for this property is approximately $104,000 per year. After applying a vacancy allowance of roughly 5%, or $5,200, the effective gross income becomes $98,800. Operating expenses for the Springfield property include property management fees of about $8,000, maintenance and repairs of roughly $12,000, insurance costs of approximately $3,000, and property taxes of around $15,000. Total operating expenses amount to $37,000, representing an expense ratio of nearly 38% of the effective gross income. This ratio is calculated by dividing total operating expenses by effective gross income. The net operating income for the Springfield property is $61,800, derived by subtracting total operating expenses from effective gross income. This figure provides a clear indication of the property's ability to generate income from its operations. Investors and analysts often use the expense ratio as a benchmark to evaluate a property's operational efficiency. A ratio near 38%, as seen in the Springfield example, may indicate relatively efficient management, but moderate deviations could signal potential issues, such as undisclosed maintenance problems. Maintaining accurate records is crucial for reliable NOI calculations. Investors should regularly review rent rolls, expense reports, and other financial documents to ensure that their NOI calculations accurately reflect the property's financial performance. By doing so, they can identify areas for improvement and make informed decisions about their investments. As we continue, we'll explore how to contextualize net operating income within the broader market by converting it into a capitalization rate, a metric that provides a more comprehensive understanding of a property's value and potential return on investment. The capitalization rate, commonly referred to as the cap rate, is a widely used metric that helps investors understand the relationship between a property's net operating income and its purchase price. To derive the cap rate, one simply divides the net operating income by the purchase price. This calculation provides a snapshot of the expected return on investment before considering financing costs and taxes. According to the 2023 Marcus & Millichap report, national average cap rates for various property types have been documented. For instance, the report highlights that cap rates for multifamily properties averaged around 5.5%, while industrial properties averaged roughly 5.2%. These national averages serve as a useful benchmark for investors to evaluate their own investments. However, it's essential to recognize that cap rates have limitations. They do not account for leverage or tax effects, which can significantly impact an investor's actual return on investment. Moreover, cap rates are sensitive to market conditions and can fluctuate over time. Therefore, investors must carefully consider the local market context when interpreting cap rates. To illustrate the concept, let's consider two examples. First, a Lowell warehouse is listed for sale at roughly $1,800,000, with a net operating income of approximately $126,000. By dividing the net operating income by the purchase price, we arrive at a cap rate of nearly 7%. In contrast, a Cambridge multifamily property of similar size but with a significantly higher price tag yields a cap rate in the low 4% range. This disparity reflects investor preferences for supply-constrained markets like Cambridge, where investors are willing to accept lower returns due to the perceived lower risk. As you follow along, we encourage you to calculate the cap rate alongside you using your own numbers. Simply take the net operating income figure and divide it by the purchase price to arrive at the cap rate. This exercise will help you develop a deeper understanding of how cap rates work and how they can be applied in various real estate investment scenarios. It's also worth noting that cap rates are not a one-size-fits-all metric. Different property types and locations may command different cap rates due to varying market conditions and investor preferences. For instance, properties in high-growth areas may have lower cap rates due to the potential for future appreciation, while properties in more stable markets may have higher cap rates. As we continue to explore the concept of cap rates, it's essential to keep in mind that this metric provides only a snapshot of the expected return on investment. Cap rates look only 1 year ahead, and multi-year leases or investments require more advanced analytical tools, such as discounted cash flow analysis, to accurately assess their potential return on investment. By understanding the strengths and limitations of cap rates, investors can make more informed decisions when evaluating real estate investment opportunities. To further reinforce your understanding, let's walk through a simple example. Suppose you're considering purchasing a small office building with a net operating income of $200,000 per year. If the asking price is $4 million, the cap rate would be 5%, calculated by dividing the net operating income by the purchase price. This figure can then be compared to national averages or local market benchmarks to determine whether the investment is attractive. By working through these examples and practicing the calculations, you'll become more comfortable using cap rates to evaluate real estate investment opportunities and make more informed decisions. As we move forward, we'll build on this foundation, exploring more advanced concepts and techniques for analyzing real estate investments. To accurately assess the viability of a real estate investment, it's essential to consider the time value concept, which posits that a dollar received today is worth more than a dollar received in the future. This fundamental principle is crucial in evaluating multi-year cash flows against opportunity costs. The time value concept is anchored in the fact that money received today can be invested to earn a return, thereby increasing its value over time. The Federal Reserve's yields on 10-year Treasury securities serve as a documented proxy for risk-free discount rates. For instance, if the current yield on a 10-year Treasury is around 4%, this rate can be used as a benchmark for evaluating the present value of future cash flows. To illustrate this concept, let's examine a Chelsea three-family property held for roughly a decade. We'll work through a 10-year pro forma to calculate the net present value and internal rate of return. First, we need to project the annual cash flows for the Chelsea property. This involves estimating the gross scheduled income, vacancy allowance, and operating expenses for each year. By subtracting operating expenses from effective gross income, we arrive at the net operating income. We'll also need to account for the property's sale at the end of the 10-year holding period, estimating the sale price and calculating the net proceeds after deducting selling expenses. To calculate the net present value, we'll discount the projected annual cash flows using a risk-adjusted discount rate. For this example, let's assume an 8% discount rate. By summing the present values of the individual cash flows, we arrive at a net present value of approximately $92,000. The internal rate of return is the discount rate at which the net present value equals zero. In other words, it's the rate of return that makes the present value of the cash inflows equal to the present value of the cash outflows. For the Chelsea 3 family, the internal rate of return is roughly 12.4%. To replicate this analysis, listeners can follow along using a spreadsheet. We'll walk through the keystrokes to set up the pro forma and calculate the net present value and internal rate of return. First, we'll input the initial investment, followed by the projected annual cash flows. We'll then use the spreadsheet's built-in functions to calculate the net present value and internal rate of return. When setting up the spreadsheet, it's essential to use clear and concise labels for each input and calculation. This ensures that the analysis is transparent and easy to follow. By using a well-structured spreadsheet, listeners can easily modify the assumptions and inputs to test different scenarios. As we work through the Chelsea example, it's clear that the time value concept plays a critical role in evaluating the investment's viability. By considering the present value of future cash flows, we can make a more informed decision about the property's potential return on investment. These analytical tools become fully actionable only after raw data are gathered and organized, a process we'll explore in subsequent sections. By mastering the concepts of present value, net present value, and internal rate of return, investors can make more informed decisions when evaluating real estate investment opportunities. These metrics provide a comprehensive framework for assessing the potential return on investment and comparing it to alternative investment opportunities. As we continue to explore the world of real estate investing, it's essential to keep in mind the importance of accurate and comprehensive analysis in making informed investment decisions. To accurately assess the financial performance of a real estate investment, it's crucial to gather reliable data and organize it in a structured format. We'll be guiding you through this process using a Pittsfield duplex as our example. The first step involves collecting rent rolls and historical expenses, which can be obtained from public records, tenant files, and online rental platforms such as Zillow Rental Manager. Begin by assembling the necessary documents, including the property's rent roll, which lists the current rents and occupancy status of each unit. For the Pittsfield duplex, let's assume the monthly rent for each unit is around $1,000, resulting in a gross scheduled income of $24,000 per year. Next, review the historical expenses, including property management fees, maintenance costs, insurance premiums, and property taxes. To create a comprehensive data set, we'll need to enter this information into a spreadsheet. Let's set up a basic template using a Google worksheet. We'll start by inputting the income data, including the gross scheduled income, vacancy allowance, and effective gross income. For the Pittsfield duplex, we'll assume a vacancy allowance of 5% or $1,200, resulting in an effective gross income of $22,800. Now, let's move cell by cell through the spreadsheet, inputting the operating expenses, including property management fees, maintenance costs, insurance premiums, and property taxes. For the Pittsfield duplex, let's assume the total operating expenses are around $8,000, representing approximately 35% of the effective gross income. As we populate the spreadsheet, be sure to pause and verify each entry to ensure accuracy. This will help you develop a clear understanding of the property's financial performance and identify areas for improvement. With the data in place, we can now begin to analyze the property's net operating income and explore how different variables, such as rent growth or expense increases, may impact its financial performance. To cross-check our vacancy assumptions, we can reference United States Census rental vacancy figures for the Pittsfield area. According to the census data, the current vacancy rate in Pittsfield is around 4.5%, which is slightly lower than our assumed vacancy allowance of 5%. This suggests that our estimate is reasonable and slightly conservative. As we continue to build our spreadsheet, we'll be able to calculate key metrics, such as the property's net operating income and capitalization rate. These metrics will provide valuable insights into the property's financial health and help us make informed decisions about our investment. By working through this example, you'll gain hands-on experience gathering and analyzing real estate data, setting the stage for more advanced analysis and decision-making. As we move forward, we'll explore how to apply these concepts to different property types and investment scenarios, further expanding your analytical toolkit. With our spreadsheet in place, we can now examine the impact of alternative loan structures on both risk and reward. By analyzing different financing scenarios, we'll be able to better understand how debt can affect our investment's cash flow and overall return on investment. This will be crucial in determining the optimal financing strategy for our Pittsfield duplex investment. Let's proceed by setting up a basic loan amortization schedule, which will allow us to calculate the annual debt service and assess its impact on our cash flows. We'll explore different loan scenarios, including varying loan-to-value ratios and interest rates, to gain a deeper understanding of how financing decisions can influence our investment's performance. As we work through these examples, be sure to follow along with your own spreadsheet, pausing to verify each calculation and ensure that you understand the underlying concepts. By doing so, you'll develop a comprehensive understanding of the data gathering and analysis process, as well as the key metrics and concepts that drive real estate investment decisions. To accurately assess the financial performance of a real estate investment, it's essential to understand how debt can impact both risk and reward. We'll be exploring the concept of leverage and its effects on cash flow and equity growth using the Pittsfield duplex as our example. Loan-to-value ratios and debt service coverage thresholds are critical metrics in this analysis. First, let's define these terms. The loan-to-value ratio represents the percentage of the purchase price financed through debt. For instance, a loan-to-value ratio of 75% means that the investor has made a down payment of 25% of the purchase price. The debt service coverage ratio, on the other hand, measures a property's ability to generate enough income to cover its debt payments. It's calculated by dividing the net operating income by the annual debt service. According to Freddie Mac's 2023 multifamily mortgage averages, loan-to-value ratios for multifamily properties typically range between 70 and 80%, while debt service coverage ratios often fall between 1.2 and 1.5. Let's examine three different down payment scenarios for the Pittsfield duplex to illustrate the impact of leverage on cash flow and equity growth. Assuming a purchase price of roughly $450,000, we'll analyze the effects of making a down payment of approximately 1/4, 1/2, and 4/5 of the purchase price. With a down payment of 1/4, or roughly $112,500, the loan amount would be approximately $337,500. Using a mortgage calculator, we can determine that the annual debt service would be around $21,000, based on an interest rate of 6 1/4%. The net operating income for the Pittsfield duplex is approximately $25,000. By dividing the net operating income by the annual debt service, we arrive at a debt service coverage ratio of roughly 1.2. The cash-on-cash return, calculated by dividing the net cash flow by the initial investment, is around 5.8%. Now, let's consider a down payment of 1/2, or roughly $225,000. The loan amount would be approximately $225,000, resulting in an annual debt service of around $14,000. The debt service coverage ratio improves to roughly 1.8, and the cash-on-cash return increases to around 12.1%. Finally, let's examine a down payment of 4/5, or roughly $360,000. The loan amount would be approximately $90,000, resulting in an annual debt service of around $5,700. However, the cash-on-cash return dips into negative territory due to the reduced leverage and lower net cash flow. As we can see, the level of leverage has a significant impact on the cash-on-cash return. While higher leverage can amplify returns, it also increases the risk of default. It's essential to carefully consider the loan-to-value ratio and debt service coverage ratio when evaluating a real estate investment. To further illustrate the risks associated with leverage, let's consider a scenario where the net operating income declines by 10%. In the first scenario, with a down payment of 1/4, the debt service coverage ratio would fall to around 1.1, indicating a higher risk of default. In contrast, the scenario with a down payment of 4/5 would be less affected, as the lower debt burden provides a cushion against potential declines in net operating income. As we continue to explore the concept of leverage, it's clear that it can be a double-edged sword. While it can amplify returns, it also increases the risk of financial distress. By carefully evaluating the loan-to-value ratio and debt service coverage ratio, investors can make more informed decisions about their real estate investments and avoid potential pitfalls. In conclusion, understanding that leverage is a critical component of real estate investing and its effects on cash flow and equity growth can be significant. By carefully analyzing different financing scenarios and considering the potential risks and rewards, investors can make more informed decisions and achieve their investment goals. As we move forward, we'll be exploring additional strategies for managing risk and optimizing returns in real estate investments. To effectively manage risk and optimize returns in real estate investments, it's crucial to conduct thorough sensitivity analyses and stay informed about macroeconomic trends. Sensitivity tables can illustrate how shifts in vacancy rates, rent growth, and interest rates influence projected returns, enabling investors to make more informed decisions. Let's begin by examining the impact of vacancy rates on a property's financial performance. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, consumer price data indicates that rent growth has been steadily increasing over the past few years. However, a sudden shift in market conditions could lead to a rise in vacancy rates, negatively affecting a property's cash flow. By stress testing a property's financials against different vacancy scenarios, investors can better understand their exposure to potential market fluctuations. For instance, applying a 10% rent drop stress test to a Worcester retail property can significantly alter its internal rate of return. Initially estimated at 11%, the internal rate of return could drop to roughly 7%, underscoring the property's exposure to market swings. This type of analysis allows investors to quantify the potential risks associated with their investment and develop strategies to mitigate them. The 2022 Harvard Joint Center for Housing Studies Rental Forecast provides valuable insights into current market trends. By analyzing this data, investors can gain a deeper understanding of the factors driving rent growth and vacancy rates. For example, the forecast may indicate that certain markets are experiencing increased demand for rental housing, leading to higher rent growth and lower vacancy rates. To further illustrate the importance of sensitivity analysis, let's consider a scenario where interest rates rise significantly. Higher interest rates can increase the cost of borrowing, reducing a property's cash flow and potentially impacting its value. By analyzing the impact of different interest rate scenarios on a property's financial performance, investors can better understand their exposure to interest rate risk. In addition to sensitivity analysis, staying informed about macroeconomic trends is crucial for real estate investors. The Bureau of Labor Statistics Consumer Price Data and the Harvard Joint Center for Housing Studies Rental Forecast provide valuable insights into current market conditions. By monitoring these trends, investors can identify potential opportunities and risks, making more informed decisions about their investments. As we continue to explore the concept of risk management in real estate investing, it's essential to consider the interplay between various market factors. By analyzing the impact of different scenarios on a property's financial performance, investors can develop a more comprehensive understanding of their investment's risk profile. This knowledge enables them to make more informed decisions and optimize their returns. In the context of the Worcester retail property, a 10% decline in rent would significantly impact its financial performance. The resulting decrease in net operating income would likely lead to a reduction in the property's value, highlighting the importance of stress testing assumptions. By doing so, investors can better understand their exposure to potential market fluctuations and develop strategies to mitigate potential risks. By mastering sensitivity analysis and staying informed about macroeconomic trends, real estate investors can make more informed decisions and optimize their returns. As we move forward, we'll be exploring additional strategies for managing risk and optimizing returns in real estate investments, providing listeners with a comprehensive toolkit for achieving their investment goals. The analysis of market trends and sensitivity analysis are essential components of a comprehensive risk management strategy. By combining these tools, investors can gain a deeper understanding of their investment's risk profile and make more informed decisions. As we continue, we'll be building on this foundation, exploring more advanced concepts and techniques for managing risk and optimizing returns in real estate investments. To accurately assess the financial performance of a real estate investment, it's crucial to regularly review and update sensitivity analyses. This ensures that investors remain informed about potential risks and opportunities, enabling them to make more informed decisions. By doing so, they can optimize their returns and achieve their investment goals. In conclusion, sensitivity analysis and market trend analysis are critical components of a comprehensive risk management strategy. By mastering these tools, real estate investors can make more informed decisions and optimize their returns. As we move forward, we'll be exploring additional strategies for managing risk and optimizing returns, providing listeners with a comprehensive toolkit for achieving their investment goals. The Internal Revenue Service plays a crucial role as a silent partner in real estate investments, influencing the financial outcomes through various tax laws and regulations. Understanding these laws is essential for investors to maximize their returns. We'll be exploring key federal tax topics, including depreciation schedules, passive loss limitations, and like-kind exchanges under Section 1031 of the Internal Revenue Code. Depreciation is a critical concept in real estate investing, allowing investors to claim a tax deduction for the decrease in value of their property over time. The Modified Accelerated Cost Recovery System, or MACRS, dictates the depreciation timeline. For residential rental properties, the depreciation period is 27.5 years, while commercial structures are depreciated over 39 years, as per Internal Revenue Code Section 167. To illustrate the impact of depreciation, let's consider an example. Suppose an investor purchases a residential structure for $300,000. Using the MACRS depreciation schedule, the investor can claim a significant tax deduction in the first year. For an investor in the 24% tax bracket, depreciating the $300,000 structure saves approximately $2,727 in federal taxes during the first year. It's essential to understand the distinction between repairs and improvements, as this affects depreciation. According to Internal Revenue Service guidelines, repairs are deductible as operating expenses, while improvements are capitalized and depreciated over the property's useful life. Internal Revenue Service Notice 8894 provides guidance on estimating the useful life of various property components. Another critical aspect of real estate taxation is the passive loss limitation rule under Internal Revenue Code Section 469. This rule restricts the deductibility of losses from passive activities such as rental real estate against non-passive income. However, real estate professionals who actively participate in their investments may be eligible for exemptions or phase-outs of these limitations. Like-kind exchanges, governed by Internal Revenue Code Section 1031, allow investors to defer capital gain taxes when exchanging one investment property for another. This provision can be particularly beneficial for investors looking to rebalance their portfolios or upgrade their investments. By deferring capital gain taxes, investors can conserve more capital for reinvestment. To accurately assess the tax implications of their investments, real estate investors must stay informed about current capital gain tax brackets. As of 2023, the capital gain tax brackets are structured to tax long-term gains at varying rates based on the taxpayer's income level. Understanding these brackets is crucial for investors to anticipate their tax liabilities and make informed decisions. As we explore these federal tax fundamentals, it's clear that the Internal Revenue Service plays a significant role in shaping the financial outcomes of real estate investments. By grasping these concepts, investors can better navigate the tax landscape and optimize their investment strategies. We'll be building on this foundation as we examine Massachusetts-specific tax and regulatory considerations in the next section, highlighting the importance of understanding both federal and state-level tax implications for real estate investors. The interplay between federal tax laws and real estate investments is complex, and investors must be aware of the various rules and regulations that apply to their investments. By doing so, they can minimize their tax liabilities and maximize their returns. As we continue, we'll be delving deeper into the specifics of Massachusetts tax law and its implications for real estate investors, providing a comprehensive understanding of the tax landscape. In conclusion, understanding federal tax fundamentals is essential for real estate investors to make informed decisions and optimize their investment strategies. By grasping the concepts of depreciation, passive loss limitations, and like-kind exchanges, investors can better navigate the tax landscape and achieve their investment goals. As we move forward, we'll be exploring additional strategies for managing tax liabilities and optimizing returns in real estate investments. Massachusetts imposes a flat personal income tax rate of roughly 5%, a rate that applies uniformly to all residents. In addition to this state income tax, investors must also consider the implications of various tax credits and regulatory requirements specific to the Commonwealth. One such credit is the Chapter 63D Community Investment Credit, which incentivizes investment in certain economically distressed areas by offering a tax credit against Massachusetts income tax. Another critical regulation is the lead paint law, codified in Regulation 105 CMR 460, which imposes stringent compliance requirements on landlords to mitigate lead paint hazards in rental properties. This regulation underscores the importance of understanding and adhering to Massachusetts-specific landlord obligations, which can differ significantly from those in other states. Local property tax classification schemes, administered by municipal boards of assessors, also play a crucial role in determining the tax burden on real estate investments. These schemes can vary significantly across different municipalities within Massachusetts. For instance, the City of Boston offers a residential exemption that can substantially reduce the property tax liability for owner-occupants. By trimming the assessed value by approximately $345,000, this exemption can lower the owner-occupant's tax bill by roughly $3,456 in 2023. To illustrate the practical implications of these tax regulations, consider the example of a Boston residential property owner who qualifies for this exemption. The reduction in property taxes can significantly impact the overall cost of ownership, making the investment more attractive. It is essential for investors to understand the specific tax laws and regulations applicable to their investments in Massachusetts, as these can have a material impact on their returns. The Massachusetts tax landscape is characterized by a combination of state income tax, local property taxes, and specific regulatory requirements. Investors must navigate this complex environment to optimize their investment strategies. By grasping the nuances of Massachusetts tax law, including the Chapter 63D credit and the lead paint law, investors can better manage their tax liabilities and make more informed investment decisions. As we continue to explore the intricacies of Massachusetts tax and regulatory considerations, it becomes clear that a thorough understanding of these factors is essential for real estate investors. By doing so, investors can ensure compliance with all applicable laws and regulations, minimize potential risks, and maximize their returns. The forthcoming case studies will illustrate how these concepts apply in real-world investment scenarios, providing a comprehensive understanding of the Massachusetts real estate investment landscape. With this foundation in place, we can now proceed to examine specific case studies that demonstrate the practical application of these concepts. By analyzing real-world examples, we will gain a deeper understanding of how Massachusetts tax and regulatory considerations impact real estate investment decisions. This will enable investors to develop effective strategies for navigating the complexities of the Massachusetts real estate market. The significance of understanding Massachusetts' specific tax and regulatory considerations cannot be overstated. By mastering these concepts, investors can make more informed decisions, minimize potential risks, and optimize their returns. As we move forward, we will continue to explore the intricacies of real estate investing in Massachusetts, providing a comprehensive understanding of the opportunities and challenges that investors may encounter. In the context of Massachusetts real estate investments, it is crucial to remain informed about the latest developments in tax law and regulatory requirements. By doing so, investors can ensure that their investment strategies remain aligned with the current regulatory environment, minimizing potential risks and maximizing their returns. As we continue, we will delve deeper into the specifics of Massachusetts tax law and its implications for real estate investors. The forthcoming analysis will provide a detailed examination of the tax and regulatory considerations that investors must navigate when investing in Massachusetts real estate. By understanding these factors, investors can develop effective strategies for managing their tax liabilities and optimizing their returns. This knowledge will enable investors to make more informed decisions, ensuring that their investments remain compliant with all applicable laws and regulations. Ultimately, a comprehensive understanding of Massachusetts tax and regulatory considerations is essential for real estate investors seeking to optimize their investment strategies. By grasping the nuances of these factors, investors can minimize potential risks, maximize their returns, and ensure compliance with all applicable laws and regulations. As we proceed, we will continue to explore the intricacies of real estate investing in Massachusetts, providing a comprehensive understanding of the opportunities and challenges that investors may encounter. To accurately assess the financial performance of a real estate investment, it's essential to conduct a comprehensive case study. Let's begin with a starter duplex, a two-unit residential property that exemplifies the acquisition and analysis process. We'll examine the purchase price, financing terms, net operating income, capitalization rate, and internal rate of return, highlighting common pitfalls and encouraging real-time verification of numbers. The starter duplex is priced at roughly $450,000. With a down payment of 25%, or approximately $112,500, the loan amount is around $337,500. The interest rate is 6.25%, resulting in an annual debt service of roughly $21,000. Monthly rents for each unit are approximately $1,750, generating a gross scheduled income of $42,000 per year. After applying a vacancy allowance of roughly 5%, or $2,100, the effective gross income becomes $39,900. Operating expenses, including property management fees, maintenance costs, insurance premiums, and property taxes, total around $18,300, representing approximately 46% of the effective gross income. The net operating income is approximately $21,600, derived by subtracting total operating expenses from effective gross income. By dividing the net operating income by the purchase price, we arrive at a capitalization rate of roughly 4.8%. This metric provides a snapshot of the expected return on investment before considering financing costs and taxes. To evaluate the investment's potential return, we'll calculate the internal rate of return over a 10-year holding period. Assuming annual rent growth of about 2% and a sale price at the end of the holding period based on a terminal capitalization rate of 5%, the leveraged internal rate of return is around 13%. This figure indicates the investment's potential return, taking into account the effects of leverage and tax implications. However, it's crucial to acknowledge potential pitfalls, such as underestimated repair reserves, which can significantly impact the investment's cash flow. To mitigate this risk, investors should maintain a comprehensive understanding of the property's condition and allocate sufficient funds for repairs and maintenance. As we work through this case study, listeners are encouraged to verify each figure in real time using their own calculators or spreadsheet software to replicate the analysis. By doing so, you'll develop a deeper understanding of the key metrics and concepts that drive real estate investment decisions. The starter duplex example provides a solid foundation for understanding the complexities of real estate investing. As we move forward, we'll be exploring additional case studies that demonstrate the practical application of these concepts in different property types and investment scenarios. By examining these examples, you'll gain a more comprehensive understanding of the opportunities and challenges that investors may encounter. The analysis of the starter duplex highlights the importance of accurate valuation, careful financial planning, and ongoing property management. By mastering these concepts, investors can make more informed decisions and optimize their returns. As we continue, we'll be building on this foundation, exploring more advanced topics and techniques for analyzing real estate investments. To further reinforce your understanding, let's consider a few key takeaways from the starter duplex case study. First, the capitalization rate provides a useful snapshot of the investment's potential return. Second, the internal rate of return offers a more comprehensive picture of the investment's performance over time. Finally, careful attention to operating expenses and repair reserves is essential for maintaining a healthy cash flow. By applying these insights to your own investment decisions, you'll be better equipped to navigate the complexities of real estate investing and achieve your financial goals. As we proceed to the next case study, a small retail storefront, we'll be exploring the unique characteristics and challenges of commercial real estate investments. The small retail storefront, trading for roughly $950,000, presents a compelling case study in commercial real estate investment. This property is governed by a triple net lease, where the tenant shoulders taxes, insurance, and common area maintenance, thereby minimizing the landlord's operational responsibilities. A 5-year lease is in place, featuring annual escalations of about 2%, which helps maintain the property's income stream in the face of inflation. To begin, let's examine the property's net operating income. With the tenant responsible for most expenses, the net operating income approximates $66,500. By dividing this figure by the purchase price, we arrive at a capitalization rate of roughly 7%, which aligns with the 2023 CBRE survey for similar commercial properties. This metric provides a useful snapshot of the property's expected return on investment. The lease terms are critical to understanding the property's value. The triple net structure transfers many operational risks to the tenant, making the landlord's income stream more predictable. Annual rent escalations of 2% help keep pace with inflation, preserving the property's purchasing power over time. To assess the investment's potential return, we'll calculate the net present value using a 9% discount rate. The resulting net present value stands near $42,000, indicating a positive investment opportunity. A robust lease audit clause is essential in commercial leases, as it allows the landlord to verify that the tenant is accurately reporting expenses and rent payments. This clause can help prevent potential disputes and ensure that the landlord receives the correct income. In the context of this small retail storefront, the lease audit clause provides an added layer of security for the landlord, underscoring its practical value. Comparing residential and commercial risk profiles reveals distinct differences. Commercial properties like this retail storefront often feature longer leases with creditworthy tenants, reducing the risk of vacancy and rent non-payment. However, commercial leases can be more complex, with terms that require careful negotiation and monitoring. The risk-return trade-off for commercial properties can be attractive, particularly for investors seeking predictable income streams. As we analyze this case study, it's clear that the small retail storefront offers valuable insights into commercial real estate investing. The triple net lease structure, annual rent escalations, and robust lease audit clause all contribute to a relatively stable investment opportunity. By understanding these key elements, investors can make more informed decisions when evaluating similar commercial properties. The forthcoming case study will examine a larger multifamily complex, demonstrating economies of scale and the unique challenges associated with managing a larger portfolio. This next example will build on the concepts explored here, providing a more comprehensive understanding of the complexities and opportunities present in various real estate investment scenarios. By continuing to analyze diverse case studies, we'll develop a nuanced understanding of the real estate investment landscape. The garden-style apartment complex, comprising 24 units, presents a more substantial investment opportunity, allowing us to illustrate portfolio-level metrics and the unique challenges associated with managing a larger property. The asking price for this complex is approximately $3,800,000. Agency debt covers roughly 80% of the cost at a fixed interest rate of 5.9%, resulting in a loan amount of around $3,040,000. Annual gross scheduled income for the complex is approximately $432,000, based on average rents of $1,800 per unit per month. After applying a vacancy allowance of roughly 5%, or $21,600, the effective gross income becomes $410,400. Operating expenses, including property management fees of 6% of gross income, maintenance costs, insurance premiums, and property taxes, total around $164,000, representing approximately 40% of the effective gross income. The net operating income, derived by subtracting total operating expenses from effective gross income, is approximately $248,000. By dividing the net operating income by the purchase price, we arrive at a capitalization rate of roughly 6.5%. This metric provides a useful snapshot of the property's expected return on investment. Massachusetts Title V, septic compliance, estimated at $80,000 over the first 2 years, adds a non-trivial capital burden to the investment. This cost is associated with ensuring that the property's septic system meets state regulations, a critical consideration for investors in Massachusetts. By factoring in this expense, we can better understand the property's overall financial performance and potential risks. To assess the investment's potential return, we'll conduct a stress test, examining the impact of a 2% increase in vacancy on the debt service coverage ratio. Initially, the debt service coverage ratio stands at around 1.35. However, with a 2% vacancy uptick, this ratio declines to approximately 1.25, highlighting the investment's fragility under adverse market conditions. The multi-year pro forma for the garden-style apartment complex reveals a more comprehensive picture of the investment's potential performance. By analyzing projected cash flows over a 10-year holding period, we can better understand the property's ability to generate returns and manage risks. The pro forma takes into account various factors, including rent growth, expense escalation, and potential capital expenditures. As we examine the garden-style apartment complex, it's clear that this investment opportunity presents both opportunities and challenges. By carefully analyzing the property's financial performance, investors can make more informed decisions and optimize their returns. The insights gained from this case study will be valuable in evaluating similar investment opportunities in the future. The analysis of the garden-style apartment complex demonstrates the importance of careful financial planning, thorough risk assessment, and ongoing property management. By mastering these concepts, investors can navigate the complexities of real estate investing and achieve their financial goals. As we move forward, we'll be exploring additional strategies for managing risk and optimizing returns in real estate investments, providing listeners with a comprehensive toolkit for achieving success. In the context of the garden-style apartment complex, it's essential to remain informed about the latest developments in Massachusetts real estate law and regulatory requirements. By doing so, investors can ensure that their investment strategies remain aligned with the current regulatory environment, minimizing potential risks and maximizing their returns. The forthcoming final section will distill the key lessons from our case studies into a concise pre-deal checklist, providing a valuable resource for investors as they navigate the real estate investment landscape. As we conclude our exploration of real estate investing, it's essential to distill the key insights and takeaways into a practical framework for future investment decisions. By synthesizing the concepts covered throughout our discussion, we can develop a comprehensive action checklist to guide investors in their evaluation of potential properties. First and foremost, a defensible estimate of value remains the cornerstone of every profitable real estate decision. Investors must carefully consider the three legally recognized appraisal approaches, sales comparison, income capitalization, and cost reproduction, to arrive at a well-supported estimate of a property's market value. The sales comparison approach, in particular, provides a valuable snapshot of a property's value at a particular point in time, while the income capitalization approach offers a forward-looking lens on the property's potential to generate income. When evaluating a potential investment, investors should also carefully analyze the property's net operating income, taking into account gross scheduled income, vacancy allowances, and operating expenses. The net operating income provides a baseline measurement of an income property's health and is a critical input in calculating the capitalization rate. The capitalization rate, in turn, offers a widely employed snapshot of expected return before financing and taxes. Leverage is another critical component of real estate investing, and its effects on cash flow and equity growth can be significant. Investors must carefully consider the loan-to-value ratio and debt service coverage ratio when evaluating a potential investment, as these metrics can have a material impact on the investment's risk profile. By stress testing different financing scenarios and considering the potential risks and rewards, investors can make more informed decisions about their investments. In addition to these financial metrics, investors must also be aware of the tax implications of their investments. The Internal Revenue Service plays a significant role in shaping the financial outcomes of real estate investments through various tax laws and regulations, including depreciation schedules, passive loss limitations, and like-kind exchanges. Investors must understand these concepts to maximize their returns and minimize their tax liabilities. Massachusetts-specific tax and regulatory considerations also play a crucial role in real estate investing within the Commonwealth. Investors must be aware of the flat personal income tax rate, Chapter 63D, community investment credits, and stringent lead paint compliance mandates, among other regulations. By grasping these nuances, investors can better navigate the complexities of Massachusetts tax law and ensure compliance with all applicable regulations. To put these concepts into practice, investors can follow a 10-point action checklist when evaluating a potential property. This checklist should include tasks such as verifying assessed value in local databases, running 15-year internal rate of return sensitivity, at plus or minus 1% rent growth, and carefully reviewing lease terms and conditions. By systematically working through this checklist, investors can ensure that they are well prepared to evaluate potential investments and make informed decisions. Looking ahead to 2024, the Mortgage Bankers Association's interest rate outlook suggests that investors should remain vigilant regarding macroeconomic trends that may impact the real estate market. By monitoring these trends and adjusting their investment strategies accordingly, investors can position themselves to capitalize on emerging opportunities and navigate potential challenges. As you move forward in your real estate investment journey, we encourage you to return to this checklist each time you evaluate a property. By doing so, you'll be able to proceed with the confidence of a well-prepared investor, equipped with a comprehensive understanding of the key concepts and metrics that drive real estate investment decisions. With a clear understanding of the valuation hierarchy, leverage cautions, and federal and Massachusetts tax triggers, you'll be well positioned to achieve your investment goals and navigate the complexities of the real estate market with confidence. Thank you for choosing Astory Publishing.